Welcome to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel, and I'm joined by MNN's Bill Werner, Brent Palm, Ashley Walker, and Mike Grimm. We're going to delve into what's happening in the North Star State. If it matters in Minnesota, we've got it covered. This week, racial and ethnic disparities prevailed in vaccination rates during the COVID-19 pandemic. A proposed federal rule would allow retailers in Minnesota to sell E15 gasoline during the summer driving season. Longtime Golden Gopher radio analyst Spencer Tollickson is stepping away from his radio duties. But first, if you can believe it, it's less than 2 weeks before the turnstiles open at the 2023 Minnesota State Fair. Iowa gets in ahead of Minnesota because their state fair started its run this week, 250 miles to the south in Des Moines. And at Iowa's big get-together, Minnesota had some clear political visibility in the state that all the 2024 presidential hopefuls are courting. MNN's Bill Werner is here to tell us about it.
Tasha, on Thursday's opening day, Governor Tim Walz was at the Iowa State Fair with that state's Democratic Party Chair Rita Hart, telling Minnesota reporters before that trip,
"I'm going to the Iowa State Fair. Two reasons, stump for the president. Two, to tell them they have the second best state fair. So, I'm wearing my Minnesota shirt. Probably won't win him any votes."
Before his campaign stump for Biden in Iowa, the governor told reporters back in Minnesota,
"I think there's a story to be told out of this. I'm going to be meeting with the Michigan governor this weekend, governor of Wisconsin, for us to talk about the upper Midwest and the things that are being done that are improving the economy, improving people's life, continuing to protect freedoms. And I think Minnesotans and these legislators created a great story, so I think it's very likely we'll continue to travel and make these cases."
The governor was asked, "Is this a national campaign?"
"No, there's nothing intentional right now, but I will say this, I will be meeting with Governor Whitmer this weekend."
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's state has become one of the battlegrounds in presidential contests of late. And with that in mind, we had a few questions for one of Minnesota's top political analysts, Hamline University Professor David Schultz. Do you think that this is Tim Walz being a good foot soldier, or is he somehow positioning himself on a wider national stage for, you know, some other office, maybe even a run for president at some point?
He's doing a little bit of both on this. And clearly, he's correct in the sense that, in part, the gateway to the presidency is through the Midwest. As we saw in the last couple of election cycles, if Democrats hold chunks of the Midwest, especially places like Wisconsin and Michigan, they win the presidency. If they don't, they lose the presidency. So I think part he's being a good soldier. But second, I think he's positioning himself. And I say that because take us back a couple of months ago, where former President Barack Obama, you know, sent out a tweet and said that, listen, elections have consequences, and how he sort of highlighted Minnesota, as well as I think the Washington Post highlighted it. I think Walz thinks that he has a message for Democrats, a message for America, and he wants to go out and tell his story. Positioning himself, wherever it may be, beyond his potentially second term as governor in Minnesota.
So you think he might be setting his sights on 2028?
I do. I think it's less likely that it's for next year in 2024. I think he's going to be the good soldier. And unlike Dean Phillips, you know, where there are lots of rumors regarding whether he may challenge Joe Biden, I think at this point, Governor Walz will be the spokesperson for Biden and try to provide the messaging. But clearly, by the time we get to 2028, we're looking at Walz, you know, having finished his second term. The chances of going for a third term as governor are difficult.
Yes.
And not clear at this point what Amy Klobuchar's plans are, or Senator Smith going forward in terms of whether there's an opening for U.S. Senate position at this point for him to run for. So I think he's trying to keep his options open, whether it's for a different statewide office, perhaps it is a run for the presidency. Who knows? It could even perhaps be after his second term as governor is over, eyeing some position in maybe a Democratic administration, assuming Biden were to win again. So I think he's keeping lots of options open at this point. And so the trip to Iowa is allowing him lots of possibilities with the cover of the state fair down there, a way of not making it look too overtly political.
Let me ask you this just about the practicality of, and we're obviously blue skying, but, you know, that's the way things are in politics, right? About Tim Walz potentially run for president of the United States at some point. Let's look at where he comes from. Okay, he comes from a state with a relatively small number of electoral votes. He comes from a state that is still probably identified, and it's changed a lot, but identified with Walter Mondale. He comes from a state that, through certainly his own explicit actions, has become an island for various things that are not that are controversial. I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about transgender medical care, and some of the other things. Can he take that to a national stage, or in states even that are blue but that are not nearly as liberal as Minnesota, does it just not have traction?
I think it's going to be difficult, because if you remember at the end of the day that the presidential race comes down to not the popular vote, but at the end it's the race for 270 electoral votes, and what we've seen in the last 20 years, it comes down to a small handful number of swing states. Again, places like Wisconsin, Michigan, increasingly now Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania. These are states that are more conservative than Minnesota. And I think it would be a hard leap to go from what is now a perception of a state that is still the state of Humphrey, Mondale, Wellstone, a progressive sort of island, to now leaping to making a run for national office.
Hamline University political analyst David Schultz with his observations on the question, does Governor Tim Walz have his eyes on the White House? Tasha?
Thanks, Bill. I guess only time will tell what Governor Walz decides to do. More Minnesota Matters after this.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly everything seems darker, less lively, and you lose your motivation to get out of bed.
If you struggle with depression, you're not alone. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, and no matter the time of year, it may affect your behavioral or physical ability to live a happy life.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you're going through, and we're here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental wellness.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. A new study from the University of Minnesota's School of Public Health shows that from the very beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic all the way to the end, racial and ethnic disparities prevailed in vaccination rates, especially in Minnesota. MNN's Ashley Walker spoke to one of the leading research fellows about the key findings and how Minnesota's white population had a major advantage.
I'm here with Colin Planoff, and we're talking about the study he helped put out on the racial and ethnic disparities that were found in getting out COVID-19 vaccinations in Minnesota. When and how was this study conducted?
So what we did was we looked at two different measures of disparities. We looked first at what COVID vaccination rates looked like for different demographic groups at the end of 2022. And we also looked at a measure of time to vaccination. So essentially looking at how many months it took to reach 50% of people in different demographic subpopulations. And that's sort of what made this study special, because there have been some studies in the past that have just looked at those point in time measures of vaccine disparities. But we wanted to look at that measure of time to vaccine because, especially in 2021, when vaccines were still just becoming available, COVID was still killing hundreds of people each day. So those delays in getting people vaccinated could really be a matter of life or death. And what we found were, while at the end of 2022, vaccination disparities had largely leveled off. They looked pretty similar for a number of groups. There were big disparities in the time it took to reach 50% of people in different demographic subpopulations with COVID-19 vaccines.
How much longer did it take the average minority group to reach 50% vaccination compared to Minnesota's white population?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we looked at both the total population for all ages, and then we broke it out by different age groups, and I can talk to you about each of those. So for the overall population, Minnesota took 6 months to vaccinate 50% of its white population, but it took 12 months for Minnesota to vaccinate 50% of its Black and Latino populations, and it took even longer, 15 months, to vaccinate half of the state's American Indian population. But what we see is there's a lot of variation across age groups as well. So Minnesota did a pretty good job of vaccinating its elderly population. By the end of 2022, Minnesota had vaccinated well over 90% of people age 65 and older. And there was really pretty little in the way of time to vaccine disparities for its elderly population, with the state vaccinating 50% of elderly people within just 3 or 4 months across racial and ethnic groups. But Minnesota, when you're looking at young adult Minnesotans age 19 to 24, there were really large disparities. Minnesota managed to vaccinate 50% of its Asian, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander young adults within just 5 months. But it took roughly twice as long to vaccinate half of Latino, white, and Black young adults. And surprisingly, Minnesota still hadn't crossed that 50% threshold for American Indian young adults after 24 months. That's 2 years after vaccines were first authorized, and Minnesota still hadn't vaccinated 50% of young adult American Indians.
Were there any major correlations that led to these findings? Why did this happen?
So we didn't focus specifically on what was driving these, but we have a few hints. So first, I mentioned earlier that I had conducted another study 2.5 years ago looking at flu vaccination disparities. And what we see is the patterns here are really similar between COVID-19 vaccines and flu vaccines. The same groups, a lot of the same subpopulations that had lower flu vaccination rates are also experiencing delays in getting access to COVID-19 vaccines. So that tells us something about how some of these groups are being underserved by the U.S. and by the Minnesota healthcare and public health systems. But another interesting pattern that we see here is that the strategy to prioritize the elderly population in the U.S. and Minnesota may have baked in racial and ethnic disparities from the start. And that's because Minnesota's white population skews older than groups such as Black and Latino residents. So effectively, that decision to prioritize people age 65 and older may have unintentionally put the state's white population further ahead in line for COVID vaccines.
Well, Colin, as we wrap up here, are there any minute details or anything specific that you think Minnesotans should know about the study?
I think it's important to take a minute to think about what these findings mean. And what this tells me is we need to think about where we go from here. So COVID-19 isn't gone, and it's likely to be with us for the foreseeable future. Even more concerning, we're almost certain to see more pandemics. It might be years or it might be decades, but they're coming. We need policymakers, and we need the U.S. public health and healthcare systems to develop better responses to eliminate disparities in future emergencies so we don't forever duplicate these same health inequities.
Eminence Ashley Walker visiting with Colin Planelp with the University of Minnesota. Time for a quick break. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. A proposed federal rule would allow retailers in Minnesota to sell E15 gasoline during the summer driving season on a permanent basis. MNN's Brent Palm talks with the head of the Minnesota Biofuels Association about the push to get the new regulation immediately put in place.
Brian Werner from the Minnesota Biofuels Association. I know Minnesota was among a handful of states here in the upper Midwest that recently sent a letter to the EPA, and we've been pushing for this for a while, for what you folks call year-round sales of 15% ethanol E15. What does the letter specifically say?
So specifically what we're asking for here is for the EPA to finalize their proposed regulation that would allow the year-round sale of E15 in the state of Minnesota and seven other Midwestern states starting here April of 2024. So, EPA, they put out this proposed regulation that would allow those eight Midwestern states, including Minnesota, to sell E15, or sometimes as it's often marketed, unleaded 88, year-round. So right now, because of outdated regulations from the EPA, we are unable to sell E15 during the summer driving season, which is generally from June 1st until September 30th. But with this proposed regulation from EPA, which we are asking them to immediately finalize and put in place the final rules that would start then April of 2024, so then we would have a permanent solution going forward here in Minnesota. And we wouldn't be in the situation where we are every year constantly asking the EPA for an emergency waiver.
I know some of you folks call that a Band-Aid, but I know last year, prompted mainly because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and then again this year, there has been an emergency waiver. So we have been able to buy E15 this summer, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. And actually what we are seeing in Minnesota is that Minnesota has been very aggressive as a state in funding efforts to replace and upgrade retail gas station equipment that can accommodate higher blends of ethanol like E15. So we actually lead the nation in offering E15 at nearly 430 stations across the state. And, so because lower cost E15 blends are available at more retail stations in our state than any other, having this constant interruption of E15 sales during the summertime really has an outsized impact on Minnesota consumers, which, as we've seen, have been able to save an average of 23 cents per gallon because E15 is lower cost at the pump.
We were talking about the upper Midwest, and I've lived in Iowa, I've done some stuff in Missouri, and here in Minnesota. Out of everything I cover as far as government and politics, ethanol is about the most bipartisan. Why can't we get this done?
Unfortunately, it's one of those things that we've got some large oil refiner interests who really don't want more competition in the marketplace from higher blends of biofuels. And so, especially out in D.C., we've had numerous efforts and champions like Representative Craig, Senator Klobuchar, Senator Smith, who've really been pushing to try to get a permanent solution done here. And it's just, unfortunately, we've been hitting roadblocks year after year because of a lot of these large oil refining interests. But thankfully, with Governor Walz and the other seven Midwestern governors did petition EPA under a provision in the Clean Air Act that allows governors to petition the EPA for changes in fuel blends, that they, thanks to those efforts, we have potentially a eight-state solution going here, but obviously we would prefer, a nationwide solution here. But, anything that makes sure that we can get consumers in Minnesota more access to lower cost, better for the environment E15 blends is something that we're going to be very, very supportive of.
Yeah, and like I said, it's, you can name the states and the governors, and they may be, far apart politically, but at least here in the upper Midwest, it sure seems like renewable fuels and especially ethanol are supported by all these folks.
No, of course, and we are very, very fortunate in that we have strong bipartisan support, both here in the state of Minnesota and also federally. But I mean, this is a Minnesota-made, readily available renewable energy solution that really had a proven track record of saving consumers money at the pump, but also reducing carbon emissions. The research shows the more ethanol we use in gasoline, the better it is for our environment, but also it's really saving drivers a lot of money at the pump. I mean, it really equates to anywhere between $3 and $5 in savings per fill up if consumers utilize E15.
Cool. Well, hey, I appreciate the comments, Brian. And yeah, if this does get approved, I'm sure I'll hear about it and probably reach out to you or vice versa.
Wonderful. No, I really appreciate the opportunity.
MNN's Brent Palm and Brian Werner with the Minnesota Biofuels Association. Time for our last break. More Minnesota Matters coming up.
Quitting smoking or vaping can be difficult, and it can be even harder during times like these when stress is often higher. Finding healthy ways to manage that stress without nicotine is important. For Minnesota residents who are ready to quit smoking, vaping, or using smokeless tobacco, Quit Partner is ready to help. Through a family of free programs, Quit Partner offers free support like one-on-one coaching, emails and texts, educational materials, and quit medications like patches, gum, and lozenges delivered by mail. In fact, a mix of quit coaching and quit medications can help double a person's chances of quitting. No matter what support a person would like to try through Quit Partner, it's always judgment-free. And now that Minnesota has raised the legal sales age for tobacco to 21, residents may be looking for quitting resources now more than ever. To learn more, visit quitpartnermn.com or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. Longtime Golden Gopher radio analyst Spencer Tollickson announced this week that he will be stepping away from his radio duties to spend more time with family and friends and to take on more duties with his full-time job in software security sales. MNN Sports Director Mike Grimm, who serves as Tollickson's partner on the Gopher basketball broadcasts, spoke with Tollickson about the decision.
It's a bit of a bittersweet day. But after 14 years of working alongside you and everybody at Gopher Sports Properties and the university and the basketball program, I and the family have decided to take a step away. And it's just time to take a step back, be closer with the family. You know that the travel last couple of years was starting to get a little bit tough, both from a career perspective and family perspective. So we're going to take a step back and allow the next person to come in, whoever it may be. It's time to pass the keys on. Someone's going to have the pleasure of working and sitting next alongside of you, Grimmer, for the next, hopefully, how was it along for us? 14 years. So
yeah,
it's been a good run. It's bittersweet. But yeah, it's time to take a step back. I have a son, Jack, who will be 7 on October 31st. And Jack is a very active kid. He loves sports. Of course, he loves basketball. And that was another big reason, is because he's got tournaments coming up and he wants me to be there and I want to be there. So that's a big piece of it. I have a daughter, Jules, who will be 5 in a couple of days here on the 20th of August. And she's another huge reason to want to be home more often. And something that you can probably appreciate, Grimmer, if you think about it like this, other than when we've been able to parlay Bree and I on a trip or two, from November through March, we really can't travel or take a family vacation or do much. Just because the schedule is so demanding, as you know, and a lot of it's on the weekends. So I think from a family perspective, to be able to take a step back and now we can take a trip in the winter. You know, it was always all of our family trips came in April or May. Well, now we can actually enjoy the ability to get out during the cold and go somewhere more warm, and just the little things like that, to where the last 14 years we haven't been able to have that flexibility. So yeah, looking forward to that for sure.
You may have made a tactical mistake though, because USC and UCLA now coming in could give you the opportunity to go to California.
I know.
Your family.
But I did. And if you recall, another thing, I was able to, at the time, was broke as a joke, had gotten married, couldn't afford a honeymoon. My cheap ass parlayed the trip to Hawaii. Remember that? The Hawaii tournament. And we brought Bree out there, and that was our quasi honeymoon. So we have been able to cash in a few times. We actually got to go to Atlantis too. That was a really fun trip down there with Tubby and those guys. Really, really fun trip. And if I recall, they played pretty well down there too, but, all the trips have been fun, man. And you know what, for some reason, New York City with you always seems to stand out. We've been there, what, three times?
Yeah, three or four times.
Three or four
times, I think, yeah. you mentioned the work stuff. You have had varying jobs over, because, you know, look, let's face it, you need, this is a fun job, the Gophers. You need other work to pay the bills. And so you have sold radio ads at one point. You've sold cars at one point. You've sold software at one point. I think you were a job placement guy. And now you are into a really good gig right now. And and that probably factors into this decision a little bit as well. Because I know on occasion on the road trips how busy you can be grinding out sales calls and those kind of things. And trying to get ready for a game and doing sales calls and FaceTiming, you know, your wife and kids. I get it. I understand. But tell us about what you're up to now the job that pays the bills, so to speak.
Hopped around a little bit when I was done playing ball overseas and tried to figure out what I was going to do alongside with doing the radio, and got into a sales career. I've been now in the technology, data security, software sales world, if you will, for a better part of 8 years. And that's really where I've been able to build my brand and carve out my business in this market in the Twin Cities. It's been a lucrative position. It's been a demanding job, as you know, but that's certainly part of it. Where it came to a point where I kept evaluating: was the juice worth the squeeze? These pros and cons list, and going back and forth, and the job portion of it was a big piece. There was no secret last year outside of the tournament that you and I both had to miss because I was sick. I actually had to miss my first broadcast ever in 14 years outside of an illness. That was last year. I'd never missed a game, not for a funeral, not for weddings, nothing. Never missed a game. And then this year I was expected to be, or this last season, I was expected to be in a conference for work, and it just so happened to overlap for a road trip. It was one of those situations where in 14 years, I've always been able to make it work, and I had to be in two places at once. You and I have always talked. The gig is the gig. The gig's all the games. You got to do it, and you're either in or you're out. And when I knew that was going to start to cause some friction, the commitment wouldn't allow me to do it 100% of the time. And in order in that happened, it was a pretty telltale sign of we need to revisit this opportunity and this thought process, and ultimately led to this decision.
That's former Gopher basketball player Spencer Tollickson and MNN's Mike Grimm speaking of his decision to step away from his role on the Gopher Radio Network. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Minnesota Matters. Be sure to join us again next week on this MNN affiliate station. Same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Tasha Radel.